Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent. Got that rhythm. Have that talent. Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm born.
Come on. Olympia, and greetings, family. Welcome to the Curator Reboom. You've got your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani on this Friday to my new friends and by saying Kujichajalia to my old friends. What's up, family? Thank you so much for joining us. This is a Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It's our Kick It Up Day, and it's usually our day for the children. However, we've made a slight change in moving our children out to Saturday. Yes, we are going to be on Saturdays, and our children could hear Saturday morning, and we're going to have the show on at 1 o'clock instead of today. We'd like to continue on in our marriage consulting practices, in our marriage last, because we're on a roll here. We're on to something, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to keep that momentum going. So we are titling this particular segment, The Benefits of a Memorandum of Understanding for Couples. And there are also other documents that we're going to be talking about, the spiritual marriage, or the spiritual contractual marriage, in addition to the legal system license. We're going to be talking about both of those. But I want to make it clear and plain that we are indicating that these things are necessary for the African-American. This is not how the Eurocentric does things. And I want to also clarify that I am not advocating polygamous behavior. I am not a polygamist. I believe that contractual agreement in a memorandum of understanding and a spiritual contract is very necessary before you lead into the legal license. Now, here's my case in point, and I aim to stick to it and define what I'm saying. It's very vital that in today's time, when you find a conscious man that wants to be married, you want to make sure that he understands his obligations and that you're not entering into a polygamous situation. Why do I say that? Because so many times, most of the people in the spiritual conscious movement, they think everybody are in to the consciousness and following pursuit of polygamous relationship. And you have to really define yourself, ladies. You have to really define yourself by saying, yes, I agree to a memorandum of understanding, so we both have a clarification of what it is we're looking for in a relationship. This is usually recommended for those people who have been married before, and it's not necessary that they have a legal license up front when they first get married. Not that it's not necessary at all, but when they first get married, that spiritual agreement and that spiritual contract agreement is important that you write out together in front of your priest or you have a witness there. And that memorandum of understanding is vital because you must have a meeting of the minds to talk about what it is you're looking for in the relationship. The spouse writes up his memorandum, and you write up your memorandum, and you both sign each other's in the presence of a witness. I would recommend and have them notarize. It's a legal document that you're drafting for your own records in the event that you not need to recoup these records for any type of litigation down the road. It's very vital. Why? Can these memorandums protect your assets? Not necessarily, but when you go into the legal license, you can show proof that you previously had a memorandum of understanding, indicating we two had a meeting of the minds. We knew exactly what we were getting into. We knew exactly what we were asking for. And I told him what I wanted and what I didn't want. If he does anything contrary to what is in your memorandum, you can call him to that contract and have another meeting and ask for an addendum, or the contract can become null. The memorandum becomes null and void. It is no longer valid, and he has violated that memorandum. Then that would be grounds for you to both have to revamp another one or at that point, the relationship has ended. Now, it's vital that this should happen, ladies. Now, I told you that there are people leading two lives. There are people leading lives on one side of the country, on the other side of town, right in the same town, with the same significant other. And you do this for the protection of your own sanity. And in doing this, you're not only protecting your own sanity, so that in the event that you have to exit out of that relationship, you're not going through all that legalities and bureaucracies to get out of that situation. It would be easier to make null and void a memorandum of understanding or spiritual marriage or contract than it would to be to go into the court system and have the judge to litigate for you. Now, we're going to be talking about all the things that go into that document and why is that document called a spiritual contract agreement. Why do you have to put the spiritual part? Because the two of you are involving a priest, I would recommend. Some people don't, but I recommend you involve a priest so that you can have a witness present there. And having that witness present there is almost like consultation that you're going through. Believe you me, people come with a lot of baggage from their past relationship that they haven't resolved, and you need to be on the lookout. Is there issues that they haven't resolved in this past relationship that they haven't been debriefed from, and they're bringing them into our existing relationship? If so, those things will come out in the discussion, and you can point those things out in your memorandum of understanding. I don't want dot, dot, dot in our relationship. You may have had it in the past, but dot, dot, dot is not allowed in this relationship. But I had it in the past, it was okay, but that's probably why you're not in that relationship, and that's probably why you didn't stay in that relationship, and you came to me asking for a relationship. You've got to get people straight on morality and on what you're going to put up with, because just because they give you that line, I love you, that doesn't smooth everything over so you can accept every crooked, uninstitutional thing that they bring to you. Some people are living foul lives, and they want to bring this foulness into your life and want you to accept it and act as if nothing is going wrong. People have to make those changes, and through this spiritual contract agreement, they can slowly come into the process of growth, and through the memorandum, you can show them their inadequacies and why their relationships haven't worked in the past and what you need to work on, and you stay under the priest or the counselor's supervision so they can help you, too, in the event that you both need debriefing. It's very vital that we should look at it this way, and for those people or men and women who call themselves conscious, we've got to get our act together. We got young people running away from this so-called conscious lifestyle because we're leading any old kind of crooked lives where we're trying to pursue two women at the same time. A man could possibly bear two women, but consciously is not good for his mind. He needs to make a decision on one woman and stick with her and give her the commitment. You can't say, I have a woman uptown, and she was the first woman I was kicking it with. Then why are you looking for another woman? Is she not satisfying anymore for you? Then if she is, stay with her. But if she isn't, then you break that off and end it and start anew. We've got to know how to end relationships and start anew. Now, as I talked to you earlier about reordering the marriage file, and I talked about the communal situation, I encourage marriage. I told you to go through and do the contract and have the two-year trial period and to go to the justice of the peace when you found that you can stay together and you've now accumulated assets. And that brings me to this point. When you have assets, you have corporations, C-Corp, S-Corp, corporation, and that person comes to you from a past life of having a business, you need to sit down, look at those businesses, and see if you need to merge those businesses, create an arm on those businesses. Your businesses must marry also. Now here, by the time you sit down with this, you can look at whose business is solvent and try to incorporate your business into one. But some men are looking for women to save them. They're looking for someone to get a better credit score or to save them because they have pretty much destroyed their own business and now they need somebody with good credit. So you have to be very much on the lookout for that and conscious that you're not walking into a legal situation of picking up all the deficits and the bills of this particular person's company who's failing. You have to have a meeting of the mind with your accountant there to go over those things. It's very vital that when you get to the point, after you do your spiritual contract, you may want to wait it out for 2 years before you do the legal contract of license. In the event that something's going to go on, it will go on between that span of time. You give them 24 months or 36 months. And you give it to yourself, too. Because if you fare well and do well under those circumstances, then it might be time to take all your assets and put them on the table and combine them. But for the benefit of the scary, scary possibility of you inheriting someone else's bills or debts, you must be very careful about that. Some men are looking for wives, but they're looking for wives for the wrong reason, because if they got assets, that means the man's got assets. Now, here's something else I want to tell you that you might not know. Because I'm a paralegal, I get to see a lot of this information. I just want to put a buzz in your ear. Are you close to the phone? Would you like to listen up? For those women who have worked several quarters in the system and have paid into Social Security, they would like for you to work at least 35 years. However, if you haven't, you could work 33 years and you're still eligible for your Social Security and you have a budget, not only for yourself but for your family. If you still have children at home that are living there, or if you adopted a child, that child is entitled to a portion of your budget of the money that's been allocated to you for Social Security. And guess what? If your husband so happened to have not worked in the system and earned his 4 quarters and $33,000, if he's shy of any of the amount he has to earn, then he is entitled to your budget money that has been set aside for the spouse. Then you can give him that portion as a separate check. Here's where we have got to get conscious about this. A lot of women could benefit a lot of men financially and put them in a better state than they're in. But we've got to go into these relationships as a legal financial agreement and not as one that I'm fly, you're fly, you can kick it with me, and we're now kicking it together and we love each other. I ask the question, what love's got to do with it? You can grow in love, but if your assets match up, that's all the more reason for you to fall in love. And if you can help that person balance his finance while balancing yours at the same time, that is a marriage agreement potential. Now, you have these other steps in between. You have the memorandum of understanding. Don't take that and disregard it like it's a memo and you throw it across your desk and you never read it and say, I didn't get the memo. We all have to get this memo, and we have to make a conscious attempt to have a meeting of the mind with our significant other to give this particular memorandum of understanding to our significant other and discuss it with the third party there, going through each line item. I agree with this. No, I can't agree with that. Let's revise this. Let's tweak this. Let's change this until you have a bona fide document. Now, you're going to do that with your memorandum of understanding, and you'll do that with his as well, until you have refurbished that thing so it looks like what you both want. And then at that particular point, you retype them, have them sign off on, and you also take them in and authorize someone who has the ability to be able to stamp off that your signatures are authentic. So they must be notarized by a notary public to make them legal. That is a document. You put it in a safe somewhere, and you keep it there. But you're not done. You're still going to be drafting the spiritual contract, which talks about spiritual consciousness. What do you need to be sane in a relationship? What do you need? You cannot have this man bringing in his past relationships thinking that now you're responsible for allowing him to bring women into their life. You cannot allow him to bring problems into your life that now you have got to deal with, and vice versa. You've got to discuss it. You're through with that. That was in your last relationship. It is not allowed in this relationship. I simply will not have it. If you are caught engaging in that, that is grounds for this contract to be null and void. You must have an understanding. And most of all, you must have respect for the other person, and you must be conscious enough that you must be able to see yourself when those problems do arise and not point the finger and say, you just being hard on me. You know that I had a bad relationship, and that's why all that happened. Yes, but you can't bring that mess to me. You must resolve it at the door. Leave your baggages at the door. And don't try to smooth anything over a woman by saying, hey, I want you to meet my friend. We hang out together. This is my friend. You really like her. She thinks she knows you. Don't buy into that woman. Because if that woman has no significance in your life or his life, you let him know. She is not allowed in this relationship. I do not want to hear her name in this conversation anymore. Whoever she is, she might be a groupie. She might be stalking you. She might be a perpetrator. We don't want to include bad elements in our relationship, which you may have had when you were on the outside world, when you were single. Men, if you're serious about taking a woman as your wife, you can't bring these bad elements with you. You must denounce yourself from them and divorce yourself from them if you're asking for someone to give you your hand in marriage. You simply have to be that astute that you're being that fair. And you can't go at that woman and say, oh, you're not being reasonable. Oh, you're not being fair. And see, there you go again. No. You have got to be a grown man, and you've got to see what makes a relationship work. Everything cannot be put in a relationship lest it might cause grief and a burden on the relationship. It's bad enough if a man comes and he has children from the past and he wants you to be involved in their life. But every weekend he can't be telling you, I'm with my ex's child and I'm spending time with that child, when you and him have planned things. You get him straight that I am the queen of this house. We will be doing things together. You will consult me so we can include your children in our lives and we become one and become blended. You are not to be doing things with your ex outside of the relationship with that child while you are still bonding with that relationship in your prior marriage. You must have an understanding for those people. You've got to get this one. If you don't get any of my other lectures, you must get lecture number 110 on marriage preparation. The reason why I'm saying this, I'm giving it to you from the hip. I have 40 years of a sound relationship. There wasn't anything that my ex and I didn't discuss. We were clear on where we were with our children, with our life, and what we wanted to do with our finances. We were clear on that, and we stayed clear on that. The only thing that we weren't clear on is his extracurricular activity and what he did with himself and his spare time. You even have to talk about that. Your share of the money, you can't go out and throw it away. You can't put us in a deficit. You can't be gathering your money away or throwing it away because it affects me. We are one now. So it's vital that you talk about these things in the memorandum of understanding. You as a couple will get an understanding, your priest will get an understanding, or whoever your spiritual coach is, and you can go back to them. I need to come back to you because there's some issues that are coming up that we went over in the memorandum of understanding. Everyone got the memo that was present here that day. And my husband needs to have a reassessment. We need to go over the issues that are arising in the relationship. If that person is respectful enough, he'll sit down with you in the presence of that priest and go over that issue and get a better clarification on what it is that you both had agreed on. Now, if he jumps up and says, oh, no, honey, no, honey, I didn't do that. Where did you get from? You lost your mind. I didn't say you guys were going to stop hanging out with the boys. I told you that on Friday that was our poker night. You get that stuff straight, woman. You let him know he signed that he would not be hanging out on Fridays. He would come home and bring his paycheck home, and he would see to it that all the bills was paid before he took any extra money out gambling. You've got to get those little things straight, too, because listen, look here, woman, I go to work and make the money. This is my money. I make a decision of when I'm going to spend and when I'm going to spend, and when I want to go out to the casino, I'm going. Get that straight, woman. Get that straight because that will destroy a marriage. You have that same headache every Friday. Oh, where's the money? Where's me? And then you confront them. What do you mean confront me?
This is my money. They don't ask me about what I did with my money. That's my money. I work for this money. I don't want to have a social hour I can. But every week, and bills have to be paid first, you have to get that clarification. Now, here's another thing. Some single men pick up a lot of homies. They pick up a lot of confidants. They pick up a lot of confidants and women that they hang out with, that they kick it with. You put in that memorandum that you must notify all your prior homies and girlfriends that you've been kicking it with, that you are now engaged in a spiritual relationship. You can no longer kick it with them. They can't call the house all times of night. You can't be sitting on the phone having long conversations with them. It is disrespectful to your significant other. You must remember that you asked to come out of that lifestyle so that you can tie this woman down. Now, men, I want to tell you, you cannot just come to a woman and say, I want to marry you to get her off the market and to pretty much put her on a layaway and tie her down while you still are in the game. Don't you understand that she had a life in the past? She has some game, too. You both got game. And if you both got game and you're ready to be with each other, then lay your game down. And when you lay your game down, you got a chance at that relationship. It's so much that you're going to be coming in contact with that's going to attack your marriage. There'll be people sent to you. There'll be people in your family that will undermine your marriage. But you have got to anticipate these things happening, and you've got to go in there with the understanding we're a team. We're one. And we're on the lookout for those things that might beset us, and we know ahead of time. In order for you to get a relationship as long as 40 years, it takes some work. I guarantee you, I put some work in. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life, but it was the most loving thing, and I had gratification from it. So as I go and talk to you about this, I'm not talking to you about a failing marriage. I'm talking to you about a marriage that went bad because some of these things we should have went back and revisited. We should have had a third party there. I should have confronted him and brought him into agreement with the priest that would hold him responsible for his action and his behavior. And with a little more pressure from the community, I could have gotten him to do what he was supposed to do. But I didn't know how vital these things were to have a third will. Someone to come in and advocate for you. Sometimes you need it because you're going to get somebody that you're going to marry that's going to be a big mouth, and he's going to talk over you, and the harder he talks over you, he figures he'll shut you up. Oh, come on, woman. Oh, stop all that. I ain't doing nothing. And you're going to just shut up and quiet down because you don't want the confusion from this man, and you want a peaceful house. Sometimes we want peace so much. All in the effort to create that tyranny in our home where you're fearful all the time. You're afraid to say something, and you don't want to confront anybody because you're afraid you might lose them. Guess what? You don't have very much of anything if you walk around being afraid to confront somebody about their inappropriate behavior, and you're afraid you're going to lose them. Then if you should lose them, maybe there's somebody better out there that's waiting for you in the wing. Maybe somebody that's willing to negotiate and collaborate and be on one accord with you. And sometimes you have to exit relationship if they will not come together on one accord with you. Even if you've announced, I'm going to get married, I'm in love, you might have to step back and say, I see some issues here. I see some problems here. I see some things that could destroy me and you both. I'd like to be your friend, and I'd even like to be your buddy, but I can't be your wife because you will not listen to what I'm telling you or follow through on what it is that I would suggest. We both have to have an open door where we're willing to listen to each other and make the necessary changes to make a stronger relationship. You're going to get the best way of making relationship with platonic relationships and with your significant other. But it's very vital that we learn how to be a friend, first of all. And if we can't be a friend to each other, each other's best friend, guess what? Your man will pick up another buddy friend that's a female, and she'll hang out with him as a best friend. And before you know it, she'll start getting those conversations that you're supposed to be getting. She'll start making decisions over his life that you're supposed to be helping him make. And she'll start filling in for you
till you're no longer needed. You must find the proper place to speak into your man's life, and your man must find the proper place to speak into your life. And you must give him that chance to be the head and to lead the family. And women, don't go saying, oh, we don't know about this. Get in there, two divorces. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm running this. You've got to let the man be the man. So many times, women want to wear the pants and the dress of the house. And they're governing their house where they have made their man hand-picked. And the whole family and the community knows it. Guess what? That man now feels like he has to strike out and do something that's unconstitutional to make his friends and his family see that he is not hand-picked and that he's still out on the market. That thing could be devastating to your relationship. And when you have a spiritual contract, from time to time, you both have got to open up that biblical book, the mutilated book called the Bible, and you've got to cross-reference to scriptures that will help make you strong, and you've got to look at what can we do to better ourselves in our personal relationship. Number one, be honest. Number two, be honest. Have plenty of correspondence. Have opportunities to talk and special time together where you go away when there's no phones or people to distract you, where you can talk and you can truly talk. And it's not him saying, oh, I got 15 voice messages. I got to sit here and answer. I got to run over here because I'm going to be hanging out with these guys. Look, priorities must be set. Your communication must be high on the hierarchy needs. You must have communication like air is to your breath, like water is to the ground and the seed. You must have communication, open lines of communication. You must be willing at any time to take off on what you're doing, to go away together so you can better understand what it is you're trying to decipher. When you find a man that's willing to take away from his busy schedule, to take you away from all this gruesome lifestyle so you can better understand each other, he is trying, woman. He's trying to get the lines of communication open so that all people will understand each other. Give him credit for that and commemorate him for taking the time to understand you. And children are our best asset. I believe that they are our future. I believe this with all my heart, and we have to pass the baton to them, and we have to show them an example of a good lifestyle. It's more than just raising them. They have to see it in your marriage, and when they see it in your marriage, it makes them a better individual. They are our future. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laughter remind of us how it used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone to fulfill my needs. A lonely place inside. So I decided to depend on me. I'm so lonely now. Never to look in the shadow. If I should fall, if I should fall, you'll start it as I do. Never let them take part of me. They can't take away what I do, what I do. Because the greatest love of all is easy to achieve. I'm learning to love myself with the greatest love of them all. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. I'm
with the greatest love over. I'm sorry, let it go, never to love. Confront a man about something that is not so pleasurable, go with a humble spirit. And when you take that memorandum, remember you're going in with another spirit. Now, the spiritual contract or agreement is almost likened to that memorandum, but now you're going to take scriptures in. You're going to take the scriptures because we know that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for proof, correction, and instruction in his righteousness. So we use the scriptures for us to be able to have a guide to direct our path. And we don't lean on our understanding because we call on the Most High and he'll direct our path. A family that prays together will stay together. You break bread together and you say prayers together. And you don't just develop prayers that you have written out, but meaningful prayers where you're praying specifically for your relationship. Praying that God will strengthen you and give you a labor and a harvest that will watch over your marriage, that will support your marriage, so that you then go out and find other marriages that you can support. And the reason why I'm giving these lectures and workshops is because my ministry was a ministry of family affair, working with the marriages and bringing them into workshops and symposium. And I did this feverishly, hoping that God would create a labor and a harvest for me. And for 37 years, I had people coming to my rescue for my marriage to support me. 37 years, a laborer was created in the harvest to support me. So when you exhaust yourself and delight yourself in the things of God, God will give you your desires of your heart. So I believe that's why God added those 15 years onto my marriage. And I'm telling you, you can have a successful relationship. And I'm building relationships. And I'm telling us, as an African-American, how we can build communal. In that spiritual contract, it is a legal agreement. You must have a third party there as you put that together, asking the priest what to incorporate in there. It is a legal document. And you also ask that priest to sign off as a witness as you and your significant other sign off, and you have a notary public also document your authentic signatures and sign off on it. That document can be revisited just like the memorandum can be revisited. And you set that up for 2 years, 3 years, 36 months. And then you'll say, we have assets. We have material things that we're afraid that might get lost. And we don't want our system, our money to be tied up in any type of probate, our homes, our property. So then as you come up on your 24-month, you revisit the spiritual agreement and say it's time now for us to have a legal license. We want to get a legal license. You invite the family. You invite the people on the guest list. And you say, now, you know, this has been 3 years and we want to do our legal marriage and we want to get a legal license. We have assets. We have material. We have a business. We have a company. And we want to make sure that those assets get properly distributed so that they don't end up in probate. And our children need us to leave them a legacy. Our children are our future, and we must leave them a legacy of what wealth we've accumulated. And if black people take the understanding on this path, they will be more successful. Children can make a relationship cumbersome. The first 5 years, you are to restrain from having children because you're building your wealth and you're getting to know one another. You put off having children for 5 years. I did it. I recommended it because it was recommended through training and development that this is what we should do to make a better relationship. It will strengthen your relationship and give you time to spend together personally so you can get to know one another. And in this spiritual contractual agreement, you put all the things in there that pertain to spirituality, growth, how you develop your spiritual mind together, how you let your man teach you from the Bible, and how you break bread together and go to church of some sort or have some study where you're putting time in, where you're talking about spiritual things. You put that in there, and we will have spiritual communion. We'll have a spiritual church. We will come together with our children. We will teach them. We will come together in Bible study. It's very vital that your spiritual outline should be put here, because some people are weak, and the Bible says to support the weak. Sometimes we run into weak-minded people, and they have low morals. And when their morals are low, their spirit is low. When you build up the spirit, you build up the moral man. And you can't legislate morality. You can't say, stop doing that, John, because it's not right and it's wrong, because John can't hear you. It is not a legislatable thing. You must take John to meditation, and you must teach him about how to go into the subconscious mind to work on that inadequacy that he has, and truly explain to him this is the only way he can overcome this inadequacy, is going to the subconscious mind to see himself walking away from that behavior and changing himself. We look at meditation, not only meditation, we look at how we can come together in understanding laws of attraction, how we can come together in understanding inertia. What does it mean to be spiritual? Does it mean that I lie to my wife? Does it mean that I cover things up and don't tell her how I feel? Does it mean that my wife goes out on me and has other extramarital affairs? It means that we're honest. It means that we're sincere. We made a vow to stay together and to stick with one spouse and not break our vows and think nothing of it. Because truly when we break our vows, we destroy our very souls. It's very vital that we should look at our spiritual contract as being one that will hold us accountable to God, and let God be the third wheel as well. He's the witness there. Because now you're going into the courtroom, and now you're getting a marriage certificate. You both are getting your blood work done. You both are going to the justice of the peace, or you might have a minister. But it's very vital that you understand that this document is a contract, and you must see it as one, and you must bring it in and put it in your file, and now you have a marriage certificate. Now, whenever you have financial problems, you go to the system to break you up or to break up your assets and redistribute them. But it's best to have these other institutions in place, like the Memorandum of Understanding and your Spiritual Contract Agreement. It gives you layers of support in the event that you want to exit out of the situation because it's not possible that it will work. And you might have that situation sometime. Sometimes our ex can come into our lives and make our lives horrible. Sometimes the children and the child support can make our lives horrible. But if two people are committed to blend that family as one, and the wife, the new wife, has got to be open to blend that family and to make that family one so it's a workable thing. It's called co-parenting. I teach those classes for the court system, co-parenting. It's very vital that you understand that children must be able to be raised in different settings and different households. You cannot raise children the same way if the spouse has separated and that child is coming to the father's house. Now he's a member, that child's a member of his new family. That person and the new wife must take co-parenting classes to learn what's appropriate for raising that child. It's vital that we should get this. I'm giving you some very good pointers here that I want you to put in your Akashic record. Even though I said prayer is very important, you must spend time together in prayer with the family and the child, and you must put the time in to have a regular Bible study so you both are growing spiritually at the same time. What happens with most relationships is one grows out of the need to meet the other person, or someone grows more rapidly than the other. If you stay on equal tongue, you could grow together and you gain the same knowledge that each other has, and you could then begin to work with each other's mind so that your minds are strengthened and you are having a relationship with the mind. And sex is nothing but having a relationship with the mind before you ever engage in the act. And we must give our women the benefit of doubt to fall in love with their minds and get involved with their intellect and find out how we can stay in love with their minds by constantly being involved in conscious information. Conscious information will make you a new person. It will give you a new relationship. The relationship dies when you no longer have access to a person who stopped growing, and you are making those steps and strides, and they'll stop growing, and they think it's okay for them to be a couch potato. It's not okay. Put that in the contract. You are not allowed to stop growing in this relationship. You must continue to heighten your level of understanding about all subjects. You must be a helpmate to me and an intellect to me as well. You put that in there, morally legislating that, because if a person cannot have a conversation with you, you don't have a relationship. Some people live in homes where there's no corresponding of communication for their whole lifetime, and their marriage is torn apart, and they're staying there, they're dead corpse. They're there in the flesh, but they're not there mentally and spiritually. And we want to keep strong spiritual marriages. And I'm saying this because as I prepare to get ready for a new relationship, I'm looking at all these things. I'm going to step back a few steps to gaze over everything. I know better, so I must do better now. I can't be so excited about someone asking me to marry them that I overlook those things and come in with my eyes closed, knowing that they have not been addressed. And my significant other must be willing to open up and allow me to address anything that I see that could become a potential problem. And if he's truly, truly seeking after my hand, he should be glad that I'm addressing those issues so that they will not be an eyesore or a thumb sore in our lives later. And for those men who don't want you to address these things, mother, then put your eyebrows up and suspect that something's wrong. Ask a third person to come in to sit down in the midst of you and have him to put it on the table. Oh, you've had a past lifestyle, and you were used to having this person in your life, and you can't give her up, and she's still a part of your life. Then you're not ready. You're not ready to engage in a relationship with me. You're in another relationship. You cannot bring that, you cannot pass that on and want me to accept it and embrace it as if it's mine. I did not agree to that lifestyle. I will not accept a polygamous relationship, and you can't be angry because I don't want it. And you must, we must relinquish me from being a part of any potential marriage that you might have until you're ready to come clean with saying, I'm done with that life. I do not want a polygamous relationship. And that has to be discussed, ladies. Please know that I'm telling you something that I see in the industry as a counselor all the time. And even in my life, I've had people to approach me with polygamous relationships. And I had to say, no, I'm not a polygamist. I will not tolerate that. I believe in a communal and getting the memorandum of understanding and the contract of agreement. But no, you cannot bring another woman into my life. You cannot force that lifestyle on me. It is not acceptable for me. You're not strong enough spiritually to handle me and another person spiritually, let alone sexually. So it's very vital that you should speak up for yourself, women, and don't just go into it with your eyes closed knowing that this man is trying to have his cake and eat it too. Or he is imbalanced and can't make a decision. He's double-minded. What does the Bible say on double-mindedness? Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We must make a decision on who we choose to spend our life with eternally. Now, if you want to be in a communal and have five other people in your communal that are married, but you all should have your own husband. You should not be cohabitating with each one of these people. You should have your own husband, and you should be with that person intimately. And it's very vital that if a sick person cannot decide if he wants one or two women, then truly, after a while, he'll get sick of both of them, and he'll have a roving eye and want to go out and look for another person. So that is a potential problem, too. When we've made a commitment, we make a commitment, good or bad, to try to stay together and to make our temples strong enough to stay in love with each other and to be content. Say contentment. Contentment is the biggest